all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
Welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today. We've got some great programs for you. I think you'll find very interesting. We always want to remind you, you can find more about Veterans Radio at its Facebook site or by going to veteransradio.net, where we're on the web 24/7. You can find a lot of our podcasts there as well. We post new ones every Tuesday, so you can get a new story, a new interview, something you didn't know before by going to veteransradio.net. And before we get started, we want to thank our sponsors. First up, we want to thank National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. It was established to certify both service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses. You'll find out how they can help your business by going to NVBDC.org. We also want to thank Eisenhower Center. It's a brain injury recovery center. Learn more about EisenhowerCenter.com. They're located in Michigan and in Florida. We want to thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans fights for veterans' disability rights all across the nation. You can reach them at 800-693-4800 or on the web at LegalHelpForVeterans.com. We want to thank VetBiz Central, which is part of the U.S. Small Business Association, VBOC, Vet Business Outreach Centers. VetBiz Central covers Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio, and can be reached at vetbizcentral.org. Let's move on to our programs.
We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today, John Branning with the Buffalo and Erie County Naval and Military Park. John, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, we read some more about what the Buffalo and Erie County Naval and Military Park is and some of the challenges it's facing as a result of sort of a year of COVID, where maybe not as many visitors and maybe not as many admission tickets sold and that sort of thing. And we're going to talk also about some of the ships that are sitting there, in particular the USS the Sullivans, which has a very interesting history, and some help it needs at the moment. So this is a call to the nation to help not only the Buffalo and Erie County Naval and Military Park, but also help restore the USS the Sullivans, because it really is worth saving. John, tell us, you've been here at the park for about 16 years. Tell us about the Naval and Military Park.
Okay, the park was established in 1977. The park didn't open to the public until 1979, July 4th. We have four vessels here, three in the water and one on land. We are the largest naval and military park in inland waters in the nation. And as far as I know, around the world. Actually, it's kind of funny. I always say, you know, I'm like the executive officer of my own fleet here, you know, and it's nothing like being stationed on three vessels that never get underway anymore. So it's not so bad. But we have the USS Little Rock, which is a guided missile cruiser, CLG-4. She was first built in 1944 and commissioned literally 3 months before the end of World War II. She was taken out of service in 49. And then modified with a missile system from 57 to 60. And then she served from 1960 until 1976 when she was finally decommissioned. And then she was towed here. The Sullivans, which is a National Historic Landmark. Most everybody knows the story of the five Sullivan brothers who died on board their vessel, the USS Juno, in 1942. This ship was originally going to be called the Putnam, but the unprecedented loss of the five Sullivan brothers really pushed FDR to name a ship after the five brothers that was already being built. So this was the first ship that was named for multiple people. It's funny because I always have like an eight-year-old or school teacher who teaches like elementary school kids, and she says, well, the sign isn't right. It should be the Sullivans with an apostrophe S. No, it's not possessive, it's plural. So, you know, that's just one of those things. Then our third vessel that's in the water is the USS Croker, which is a Gato-class submarine that sank 11 Japanese vessels, World War II. And then she was taken out of service, modified, brought back into service, and she served until 1968. And then our last vessel, which is a PT boat that's up on a cradle, actually on land, is made of mahogany. So putting her in the water is just not, that's not going to happen. But she served from 68 to 72 in Vietnam. And when she was decommissioned in 79, she was brought here. And then we have all sorts of other static displays as well, because we are a naval and military park.
Yeah, and this is a sort of a unique thing to have. First off, Buffalo's on the water, so you can actually have this somewhere like this. And but why is it important for the county, the city, the region to have such an extensive naval and military park?
Well, one of our primary jobs here is to educate. And Buffalo, although, how do I put this? Buffalo has supported the military almost since there was a military. Actually, there's steel that was refined here in Buffalo that is on board Little Rock. And we have Worthington pumps. Even some of the china that we have that serve the officers and crew on the Little Rock was made here at Buffalo, China. So not just to educate the military public, which we do have quite a huge veteran presence here, but it's to educate the future veterans or just students who have a curiosity about the military. And this was actually the first place. I'm not originally from Buffalo, I'm a Savannah boy. But this was the first place I ever had someone thank me for my service. Buffalo is a very deeply patriotic town. And, you know, I'm used to Norfolk and San Diego and Jacksonville and, you know, where dogs and sailors are supposed to stay off the grass. But here, people appreciate a person's military service very, very keenly.
Well, and it's, I'm sure, a regional draw, and probably even draws from our friends in Canada when they used to be able to come over.
Absolutely.
To the United States pre-COVID. But kind of tell us what sort of visitation you would have had pre-COVID and sort of what the last years look like.
On average, 2020 notwithstanding, but on average, we accommodate up to 80,000 visitors a year. We have averaged 5 years in a row before 2020. Someone from every state in the union has visited here because we track it. And then also people from over 100 countries. So it, you know, we, all the different organizations and things here in Western New York, we all help each other out in our own way. We have, you know, of course, Niagara Falls. And so what else is there to see besides Niagara Falls on this side of the line? And well, let's go downtown to see, you know, see what Buffalo has. And you can't miss these vessels anywhere. And so it really draws a huge population down here. And the other thing is one of the primary money makers for almost every naval park around the United States is Boy and Girl Scout encampments. We actually accommodate, generally, again, pre-COVID, 250 kids on normally Friday and then Saturday nights. And so that gives them an opportunity to actually sleep in a Navy rack and then eat out of the galley. And those
kids are sized for those racks. The problem we have, you and I were a little too big for those racks.
Well, what's funny is because being the superintendent here, one of the, you know, I changed light bulbs. you know, that kind of thing. Sometimes it's easier, instead of carrying a ladder around, I'll sit there and climb up into a bunk on the third rung and change the light. And it's like, okay, I used to be able to get out of this with no problem. That was a long time ago.
So, what changes have you made over 2020 to maybe improve or enhance or make more robust the website, and give us that website for the Naval and Military Park?
Very, very simple. It's www.buffalonavalpark.org. And we are a not-for-profit organization. A lot of people have the misnomer, oh, this is like run by the government. No, the U.S. Navy decommissioned these vessels and donated them to the city of Buffalo, Erie County, in the state of New York. And they kind of washed their hands of it. The only thing that they require is us, of course, not to do any kind of thing to the ships that would dishonor the name USS, United States Ship, which, of course, any veteran would not allow that anyway.
And have you enhanced your website during 2020 to keep the education mission going?
That's one of, like I say, that's one of our mission statements. We're working up virtual tours, literally 3D virtual tours, because even pre-COVID, certainly some people just can't go through the submarine. There's not enough air in that thing, you know, and I can't go through those small hatches. So we started this actually pre-COVID, doing a 3D virtual tour that it is still underway, because the Little Rock is such a big ship. But eventually all of that will be online, where somebody, whether they're in a wheelchair or any other kind of circumstance, they will be able to come here or online and take a look and see what the ships actually have on board. We also started doing videos, YouTube videos and that kind of thing. So there's links to a lot of those. We try to work in conjunction with some of the other naval parks for comparisons. For instance, USS New Jersey, battleship, Iowa class, much bigger than our vessels. Well, she still runs on steam, and there's a lot of similarities, but then there are some drastic differences. And so we work in hand in hand with them, again, to enhance our educational status for the vessels.
Yeah, I think one of the things everybody's doing is sort of measuring for those kind of best practices. I really didn't realize that Boy and Girl Scout encampments were such a big deal. But once you say it out loud, you go, what a great opportunity for these kids to do something that they would never otherwise do, and put into context, you know, how big and elaborate and all kinds of passageways that these ships have that you just don't appreciate from a look from the outside.
Oh, absolutely. Even when I started here, a bit younger, I always thought of these ships as a big jungle gym. And, you know, I really appreciated the opportunity. Well, it's also a requirement to do some of the maintenance on the vessels. But, you know, any kid comes here, they're like, let me loose. And, yeah. But they are naval vessels, and they are made out of steel. And so some of that has to be curtailed a little bit.
Well, yeah, they'll bang their knee on a knee knacker just once and realize, oh, okay, that doesn't work. I got to pay a little more attention. So
right.
But you mentioned that this is a nonprofit organization that gets really private donations to keep going from the business community, from individuals. So talk to us a little bit about the constant maintenance that has to go on in the ship. And anybody who's ever scraped and painted, you know what I'm talking about. But you know, you got three ships here that need a lot of work, don't they?
Absolutely. Well, as I always say, you know, when we all turn upward to 80 years old, we're all going to make funny noises, and we're going to leak around the edges and smell weird. So, but these vessels are already there. And the Some people just think that they're big chunks of steel, but they're not. These are, and everybody who works here think of them as living, breathing organisms. And if you don't take care of them, then they deteriorate to the point where we start taking on water and that kind of thing. And then we have a lot of problems that we have to resolve. It takes more work than it would have been to prevent it if we had the resources available.
And I want to talk about the USS, the Sullivans, in part because it's an example of that problem, but in part because you have that ship alive and it hasn't been, you know, cut into scrap, it's a constant teaching moment for people to understand the family sacrifice, this family in particular, five brothers were lost, but actually every family sacrifices when their son, their daughter, their husband, their wife goes into the military. And this is a good teaching example, the Sullivans is, about that family sacrifice. What are the current challenges of keeping the Sullivans going as that teaching museum?
Well, the problem is really what it comes down to is that the Sullivans was built in 1943 and served throughout World War II, Korea. She was decommissioned in 1965, and she sat in Philadelphia for almost 13 years before in salt water, just sitting there basically rotting in case another country wanted to buy her or she would be reactivated or something along those lines. Then she was towed here to Buffalo, and she's been here in the relative fresh water of Great Lake Erie and the Buffalo River. Trust me, I've been in that water. It doesn't taste fresh. But the thing is without being taken out of the water, dry dock, which we don't have the funding for that, and also the way the ship is oriented, if you go on our website, you'll see how the Sullivans is nested inboard against the pier, inboard of the Little Rock. And so being in that kind of configuration, there's just no way to take the ship out and to do that kind of major maintenance. So throughout the decades, just, you know, you're sitting in this kind of environment. The hull is almost totally encased in zebra mussels. And so she leaks. She'll spring a leak, normally not much bigger than the diameter of your finger. And so I get in the water. I'm a certified diver, and I have an assistant inside the ship. And so we patch her from inside and outside, and just basically we plug holes. And it's a process. And on average, through the last couple of decades, we average anywhere between 10 and 20 holes that will all of a sudden burst open because the hull is just so paper thin. And you got to understand, those Navy folks out there know what a destroyer's nickname is. It's a tin can. You know, she was not built to stand up and slug it out with a battleship. You know, her armor was her speed, maneuverability, and her agility, hit and run, that kind of thing. So she wasn't built to last as long as she has in the environment in which she's in. And so it takes a lot of work, a lot of work, above and below the waterline.
So we'd like to hope that our veteran radio listeners, as they think about these naval ships that are part of the museum and the repair work that they need and the funding that they need, and we're talking to John Branning, who's the superintendent of ships at the Buffalo and Erie County Naval and Military Park, that there's folks out there, John, who might say, you know what, dad or granddad served in the Navy. You know, I'd like to contribute some dollars to help this keep this going because I see the importance of it. How do they help support your mission at the Naval and Military Park, John?
Well, any monetary donation that someone wants to send to us, it can be mailed to us. Our address is very simple. It's 1 Naval Park Cove, Buffalo, New York, 14221. 14202. Sorry about that. It's going to give you my own address. You can click online. There's a donation tab on the website, and you can earmark your donation to a specific vessel, because again, we do have four of them and they do all require work. Depends on the era that you're interested in. So, I mean, we have former Vietnam veterans who want to just give to the PT boat because, hey, I remember seeing them going up the Mekong Delta, you know, that kind of thing. So that is entirely possible as well.
Because, we'd certainly want to encourage folks to go to the website, which is buffalonavalpark.org, and poke around, look at it, get interested in it, look at some of the YouTube videos, see some of the challenges that maintaining a fleet of this size really takes. And maybe they can help out a little bit and keep some of this going on for another 16 years, as long as you've been there. But John, I know you also served in the Navy for 22 years and retired out. Tell us how a nice kid from, I think you said, South Carolina ended up in the Navy and
Savannah,
and served for 22 years.
Yeah, it's not that much to tell. I was inspired to join the Navy, believe it or not. At 13 years old, I wanted to join. My dad was a World War II battleship sailor. He served on four different battleships during the war. He was a quartermaster and was part of the Admiral's staff, Admiral Lee. And he was actually on board the Missouri when the Japanese surrendered. And that being one thing, but although like most World War II veterans didn't feel like they were doing anything above and beyond what their neighbors were doing. So, you know, he rarely talked about his service during the war, but I watched this movie. You see it every once in a while on Turner Classic Movies sometimes, is They Were Expendable. Story of PT boat crews in the Pacific. And I saw, it has John Wayne and A-rated actors at the time. And I wasn't interested in the leadership so much. I was more interested in this guy, Ward Bond character, who was a little bit different than the officers, and yet he was still higher ranked than the junior guys. He was a chief petty officer. His job was to take care of his troops and to ensure that his command would function properly and was kind of the backbone, the deck plate leadership, as we call it in the Navy. And I kind of fell in love with that character, and I kept that in the back of my mind. And then when I turned 17, I got my dad to sign the paperwork for me to join. And he was quite willing to sign because I wasn't all that good of a kid. And that was basically it. From there, I served on four different aircraft carriers throughout my career, and did two tours in Spain, just was all over the Mediterranean and the European theater of operations. And then on top of that, my oldest daughter joined. So our services actually overlap by a month. So, you know, when you serve with your kids, it's time to move on. You know, people are already calling me granddad. So, and then honestly, when my youngest came of age, he decided he wanted to do his time too. And so he did his 4 years. He found out really quick that a full 20-year career was not for him. But that's fine. He'd served his country admirably for 4 years and day for day. And I'm exceedingly proud of both of them.
Well, and very few people serve as long as you did and retire out. Whoever they are, they learn so much by that service. I'm sure your son and everybody I've known have been in for, you know, the 4 year tour kind of thing, is a totally different person when they went in and when they came out, and the importance of the family service can't be overstated, the value of that to the country. And we're back to the Sullivans, right? We're back to how a family serves and how a family sacrifices.
Absolutely.
To make our country free. And again, really appreciate the Branning family for its long line of service, John. Thanks.
Appreciate that. Like they say, you know, there's stickers you see all the time around military bases or Navy bases, especially. Navy wife is the toughest job in the Navy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, it's a family affair. It really is. We all recognize that. And I'm sure you bring that same sort of family passion and motivation to your job as superintendent of ships at the Buffalo and Erie County Naval and Military Park. Veteran Radio listeners, go to the website. Help out if you can. If you're planning a trip that takes you into the north reaches of New York, stop in, see folks, be part of that 80,000 that visit every year. You'll have your vaccines. It'll be safe as can be. And we really want to encourage people to get back out and do those sorts of things.
We will be opening to the public May 1st. And we're due to COVID, we're still restricted on how much of the ships we can open and how deep people can go into them. But trust me, it'd be well worth the time you spend here.
Well, we want to thank you for taking some time today to talk to the Veteran Radio listeners. Give us again the website that they can go to.
It's www.buffalonavalpark.org. You can always just Google it.
It'll pop up. And as I say, go check it out. They've got some great stuff going, but they also need everybody's support to keep it going. And we certainly want to help them do that. So, John, thanks for spending the time on Veterans Radio today.
No problem at all.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
We again want to thank our national sponsors, the National Veterans Business Development Council, NVBDC.org, the U.S. Small Business Administration Veterans Business Outreach Center, Eisenhower Center, VA Ann Arbor Health Care System, the Vietnam Veterans of America Charles S. Kettles Chapter, Ann Arbor, Michigan, VFW Graf O'Hara Post 423 in Ann Arbor, and the American Legion Prescorn Post 46, also in Ann Arbor. They keep us on the air, as does your support. Go to Facebook, go to veteransradio.net, and support our efforts. And until next time, you are dismissed.